The rafters will ring at a building hard by our studios tomorrow night when Southern Oregon Repertory Singers take the stage for a concert of new music. This marks the fourth late winter festival of new music for Soars under the direction of Paul French. The new music this time around includes a work from a composer who lives right in the area. Joe B. Talbot composed a cantata called A Sheen of Dew on Flowers, which premiered last spring in London. That was the world premiere. So its North American premiere comes at the Soars concert tomorrow night. Composer and conductor both join us. Paul French. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Always a pleasure.
And Joe B. Talbot, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange. First time in the new studio, we discovered. We didn't give you very good directions.
Yeah, I know. This is wonderful. I love your new studio. I'm jealous.
It's good to have you both here. So talk just in general terms, Paul, about the New Works Festival. You've been doing this for a while now.
Well, we're so grateful to Jim Collier for his support of this endeavor. A few years back, I was thinking about the kinds of programs that were available to the public in the Valley and trying to think of what could we do that would substantially add to what's already happening. And it occurred to me that new music in larger productions, choral orchestral pieces, that nothing was happening along those lines or not very much. And so we went to Jim and said, we'd like to start this festival. And it was a very brave thing for the board to do, to move forward with it. But we knew from our audience surveys that people actually loved the music we were doing, and the response has been really gratifying.
So here's Joe B. Talbot, basically right in the backyard then, with a new choral piece. I mean, was it just coincidence that you did this last year for London and it became available then this year for the festival?
Well, it was commissioned in London, and I met Joby when he was finishing up on the cantata, and got to hear it, and obviously just thought this is an extraordinary piece, and here I have a festival, mm-hmm. and I feel really fortunate to be able to do it.
So here you are together working on this piece. So it is called A Sheen of Dew on Flowers. It's a 50-minute cantata commissioned by the Victoria and Albert Museum. Is that right, Jody?
Yeah, it was the Victoria and Albert Museum had a big new acquisition unveiled last year. It was Queen Victoria's coronet, the coronet that was gifted to her by Prince Albert on their third wedding anniversary. 2,000-plus diamonds and some enormous great big sapphires. And it's, you know, it's obviously the Victoria Album Museum, if people don't know, is like this incredible institution in England, which is a museum to, I think, the applied arts is the technical term. But it has an amazing jewelry gallery, an incredible Persian rug collection. There's a big fashion part. It's a big musical instrument section. It's amazing. And they were unveiling this new thing, and this guy called Bill Bollinger, American philanthropist and all-around good guy, thought that this shouldn't go unmarked musically, as Victoria and Albert themselves were big patrons of the arts generally, but music in particular. And so he asked me if I would write a piece for it, and they kind of gave me carte blanche about what I should do. They said they wanted it to be for choir and orchestra and soloists, but after that I could choose my own text, subject matter, whatever, and I didn't want to do something that was like specifically about Victoria and Albert, because I didn't want it to just be an occasional piece that was only really good for that one outing. I wanted something that would be, you know, programmable kind of into the future. And I thought about what's sort of out there in that world of big kind of choral orchestral pieces. And I realized there's an awful lot of sort of pomp and circumstance, you know, a lot of kind of, great big rousing epic sing-alongs. But not much in the way of sort of really sort of intimate and emotionally engaging pieces. So I thought for a while about trying to tell the story of maybe of a partnership, two people who fall in love, and sort of chart the story of their relationship as it comes to full bloom and then is cut off suddenly by a bereavement. As happened with Victoria and Albert, of course. I mean, she lived out the last how many decades of her life?
40 plus years, yeah.
Yeah, in deep mourning. Anything that wasn't black, kind of, you know, wardrobe went in the bin. And, she never really recovered. And I was looking for a story, maybe in mythology or Shakespeare or something that could kind of tell that story. And I didn't find anything, but what I did find instead was this unbelievable resource of incredible poetry translated into English by the American poet Jane Hirschfield, a collection of hers called Women in Praise of the Sacred. And it's texts by women from all over the world, right down the ages. I think the oldest poem in the book is from several thousand BC or something ridiculous.
It's 43 centuries.
43
is what she says
centuries of poetry by women. I mean, who knew there were even 43 centuries where people were writing anything, let alone poetry. So in this extraordinary resource, and I highly recommend people look at this book, which I found on the shelves of Ashton Public Library. I found these incredible poems, and they're like, the oldest one is attributed to the Queen of Sheba. Then I think the newest one is by an Inuit shaman woman from the 19th century sometime, and everything in between, Sufi mystical poetry from Baghdad, Japanese court poetry from the medieval period. And it comes across, these texts in Jane's translations, they come across with a freshness and an immediacy that speaks to us down the ages. And I've kind of organized the text in this way that does what I was originally setting out to do, chart the progress of this relationship, and hopefully bring the audience on a really deep and engaged emotional journey.
So let's hear a little bit of A Sheen of Dew on Flowers from the initial engagement in London at the Barbican Theatre in April of last year. So we're hearing the Britten Sinfonia and Britten Sinfonia voices. Kelly O'Connor is the mezzo-soprano and Tobias Greenhall is the baritone.
Is this scent from a Chinese deer or the fragrance of infused water? Is it the breathing of the bones it's carrying?
Lest anybody think it's a gigantic spoiler, that is 1 minute of what apparently is a 50-minute cantata. So I don't think we're giving away the whole ball game here. That again from the London performance last year of A Sheen of Dew on Flowers, which will be performed as part of the fourth annual James M. Collier Festival of New Choral Music, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. Joby Talbot, the composer; Paul French, the conductor, joining us here on the Jefferson Exchange. So you mentioned, Joby, that the work describes the arc of a love affair. The part we just heard was what?
That's like sort of the first flush of excitement of finally getting together. Mm-hmm. And from there, it moves into the sort of high noon of a very settled, deeply engaged relationship. And then, as I say, just cruelly, cruelly cut short by bereavement. No, there's the spoiler.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, we know that all love affairs end one way or the other, so yeah, well, that much was expected.
This doesn't end well.
We should point out that Kelly O'Connor, who was the voice on that, is also the mezzo-soprano at the performance here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you Americans, it's like so impressive. You know, one minute I'm asking Paul's advice about, you know, like, is this too high for the altos in the choir? The next thing, he's programmed the piece with his incredible choir, hired the soloists from the London performance, and Theo Hoffman, we should say, the wonderful baritone who's doing it here, put together this incredible orchestra, and we're up and running. This is something that would take 15 years of committee meetings if it was happening in London.
So, Paul, you know a few people, you're saying.
Well, I'm very fortunate. The organization, I have incredible support. Which, you know, you can't do anything. You're right. You can't do anything alone. You need people to be on board and engaged. And the singers are so committed. And honestly, they've never worked harder on anything. Meeting on their own before rehearsal and sectionals and. It's gratifying to hear Joby likes what we're doing because they've worked really hard. Then the organization has worked really hard to be able to do something that's, honestly, big and expensive and Why do it? Because we can, and it will add to the what people's experiences here and art and beauty and significant music. We should be doing that.
Where do you get the orchestra from? Because this is SOARS doesn't usually Southern Oregon Repertory Singers doesn't usually perform with a full orchestra, right?
Well, in recent years, thanks to the generosity of our donors, we're doing more. But yeah, largely they're members from the symphony, and the symphony's been terrific in helping us, giving us equipment and stage extension, because there's the stage is completely covered every inch
of the stage.
I was thinking
that, yeah, with all those singers.
Oh, my God.
we got Martin playing Celeste. We've got the conductor of the symphony in the orchestra.
Martin's playing Celeste, yeah. Then we've brought a few people in, which... who we know and like to come and that help us. So that's how we do it.
Why don't we talk about some of the other pieces involved in the Festival of New Choral Music? Is Joby's piece is the whole second act essentially?
The first half is about 25 minutes. Then there's this concert series we have. I think we have champagne and goodies, and you know, we're trying to make it a real party. Mm-hmm. Then Joby's piece is the second half. Yeah, the first half we open with a piece by Paul Mailor that Terry Longshore is playing percussion with us, and it's loud and fun and, you know, way over the top. Sopranos sing very high for a long time, gets everyone's attention. And that's followed by a piece by Tarek O'Regan, which is a very moving piece, the text of which says, truth is dead, we have killed the truth. No one brought it flowers. We pretend that this isn't so. It's a Neruda poem, and it's the saying to Joby, it's mo justi for our time.
Yeah.
I think we need this piece. That's followed by a piece by Eric Sachsenwalz, whose music I love, a Sarah Teasdale poem, beautiful poem of trees, which basically says, you know, the leaves fall off the tree, but then the tree can see the stars, so it's very hopeful. And then Jody has written a piece that's...
Jody French. No blood relation.
A social awareness piece about the plight of farm workers called The Stranger Among Us, and it has this sort of recurring... This is their home. This is their home. And again, and Michal is going to play cello, and he's just stunning. Then we end with a piece by Will Todd that's a beautiful, beautiful text. God shall take away all their tears. There will be no more sorrows. Again, I'm trying to fill a void here.
Yeah, stay very topical, yes. So talk about Joby Talbot, if you would, about the texts and what you chose here. I mean, you had 43 centuries of stuff to work with, so a lot of stuff didn't get into the cantata.
Yeah.
And was there a fair amount of tugging, like, okay, this second set to music, and no, wait, this one's a little better for that mood.
I swear, it took me longer to put the texts together than it did to write the piece. I was working on it for absolutely ages, and I started trying to find like a story. I talked about working with the librettist to create a new libretto that would be more explicitly narrative. But then I put together a whole lot of texts from that would have been kind of big, you know, big texts in Victoria and Albert's lives, living in 19th century London, and it was people like Tennyson and Keats, John Donne. Lovely poems, but you know, so many of them have. When you're looking for texts to set to music, you need to find something. At least this is my take on it. That has room for music, and like you know, Tennyson, all the music's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's just sort of over-egging the souffle to set it to music, to my mind. And of course, it's been set by many great composers who are far more revered than I am.
So a sparer kind of poetry then lends itself to?
You know, like song lyrics in pop songs. I mean, that if you read them on their own, they're missing something, and they're missing the music. And I think so much poetry sort of isn't missing anything. It's kind of, it's a complete world in and of itself and doesn't really need my help. So I had a whole load of poems I put together, and I was working it for ages, but I had this final stanza by the Japanese poetess Shikibu from the, I think, the 11th century. And it ends with this line, a sheen of dew on flowers. I can't remember what the exact line is. So come quickly.
Our lives are like the sheen of dew on flowers.
It's all about the ephemeral nature of life. It's a rather beautiful image. And that was the very final bit of this long, like 50 minutes worth of text that I put together. And I contacted Jane Hirschfield, whose translation it was. All the other ones were originally in English and all in public domain, but this is the one I needed to get permission to use. And my wife managed to track down Jane. She lives down in the Bay Area. And I spoke to her on the phone. She's an absolutely charming lady. And she said, sure, go ahead and use that. And whilst you're at it, you might want to look at some of my other collections. And when I opened that book, Women in Praise of the Sacred, I was like, okay. Threw out.
Starting over.
Tennyson, Keats, John Donne, hit the cutting room floor. Sorry, guys. And we found all these other poems. And I knew, I think, by this stage that Kelly was going to be giving the premiere. And I just had this vision. She's an absolute force of nature, but an incredible voice, as you heard, but also just the most wonderful stage presence. And I just had this idea of her just commanding the space as the kind of Queen of Sheba, with the choir as her acolytes, proclaiming this kind of interesting, ambiguous text that's all about her relationship with King Solomon. Because I don't know if people know that King Solomon kind of tricked the Queen of Sheba into going to bed with him. That's the sort of story as it's given, kind of from Solomon's camp, but from the Queen of Sheba's camp, it's far more nuanced and interesting. That she kind of knew what she was getting into, and she says that she went there, gave herself to him to achieve wisdom, and she brought back this gift of wisdom to her own kingdom and her own people, and it was it led to this sort of flowering of culture, and it's an interesting thing.
Wow. So Kelly O'Connor, you actually wrote with her voice in mind.
Yeah.
You composed with, you knew what her range was. And
well, I discovered it was bigger than I thought. I wrote, I was like, Kelly, how do you feel about low Fs? And I get this email pings back, I love low Fs. I'm like, great. So it's full of low Fs. It's wonderful to be able to collaborate with musicians in that way. She's, you find these people to work with, and it's just a joy.
So the piece again is called A Sheen of Dew on Flowers. It's a cantata. What makes it a cantata versus other form?
I don't know if it is a cantata, really. It's not okay. Really, yeah.
It's but we're calling thought, it a cantata, is it? Is that the...
Well, Joby was saying the other day, he thinks of it now a little bit like a choral symphony.
Yeah, like a choral song symphony.
But what it gets called is up in there.
Okay.
People don't start out calling it something,
That's true, yeah. It's just voice.
Musicologists end up putting it in little pigeonholes, and...
That's true. It's like you always tell me when you come here. It's like you talk about popular and the rest of music is therefore not popular. No, not
right.
Having it.
Yeah, I hate
so
that
it's
word.
It's the James M. Collier Festival of Choral Music, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., featuring again A Sheen of Dew on Flowers, works by Paul Mailer, Tarek O'Regan, Eric Sessenveld, Jody French, and Will Todd. Thank you so much to Paul French and Joby Talbot for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.